Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. Thank you all for joining. Today, our plan is to talk about the problem and challenge of exporting Shemitah produce outside of the land of Israel to other areas. Hope to cover the basics pretty extensively today. And on Monday, we're having our Yarchei Kala. Also related to this topic, we'll get to some more practical details there too. So please feel free and to join for that as well. So where does this start? For the bit, it's important to understand the financial and economic background to this, which is that for farmers in Eretz Yisrael, many of them heavily rely on exports. They're not simply making their money off of fruit they sell in Eretz Yisrael. And furthermore, lest you say, well, okay, so maybe for 1 year they can hold off. It's not just for 1 year, because if they don't sell fruits in Eretz Yisrael for 1 year, they may lose their vendors totally, which will cause a great amount of financial distress. And as we see, people don't need excuses not to buy things from Israel nowadays. So the few contacts that we have are important to maintain. So how does this work, and where does the prohibition come from, and how do we address it? If you look at source number one, this seems like a big problem. On a simple glance at the rabbinic sources, you cannot export fruit from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. In fact, if you do, maybe you can't even eat that fruit. This is the impression I think you would get from the Sifra quoted in source number one. I'm just going to mute everybody so that there isn't any interference. The Midrash says in the Sifra as follows in source one, Asher Ba'artzecha, Masha Ba'artzecha Ochlim, that which is in your land you shall eat, Lo Masha Hotzi Akilas La'avadav. This doesn't include the types of produce that Akilas, the ger, a well-known convert, maybe the same as Unklis, maybe not, also originally a Roman official, Ayin Shum, or Ask Chaim. I'm sure he has a whole literature on that for you if you'd like. But the point is, this person used to export fruits from Eretz Yisrael for her servants, and you cannot eat such produce that is exported during Shemitah from Eretz Yisrael elsewhere. And then we have Rav Shimon, Shamati Bethera, Shemotim Lasuri Yovem, Motim Lachot Saras. Rav Shimon says you can actually export to Syria, which we discussed earlier when we talked about Kibush Yachid, and which is essentially considered rabbinically Eretz Israel, but you cannot export to Chutzlaretz. Big problem. So you can't export. And if you do, sounds like from the Medrash, not only did you violate a prohibition, you can't even eat the fruit. The Mishnah in source number two is a bit different. The Mishnah begins, Shvius, Paragvav, Mishnah, hey, Emotzin Shemen Srefa, you cannot export impure Truma oil, Upero Shvius, and Shemitah produce, Mea Aretz, L'chutz La'aretz, from the land of Israel to outside the land of Israel. So here it's expressed in terms of a prohibition against exporting, no mention of the prohibition against eating foods which have been exported. And then again, we have Rav Shimon, always the Syria activist, who says, I think you can export to Syria, but not to Chutz La'aretz proper. We'll get back to Rav Shimon a bit later. So we have on the books a prohibition against export. And the question becomes, what is the nature of this prohibition? So if I asked you, why? What is the problem? What could be the problem? Knowing what we know about Kedushat Shviat and Mitzvah Achilat Peros Shviat and Bior and all things of that nature, what would be the problem of exporting Shemitah produce outside Israel? What do you think?
It could be lack of knowledge of the halachot that regards Shemitah.
Okay, practically, we're afraid. Lack of knowledge is an interesting way of putting it. Bradley, we're afraid that if you bring them outside Eretz Yisrael, so then they won't be treated appropriately. People won't know, they're not used to it. A pragmatic concern. Okay, totally fair. Any other thoughts?
Could there be a
Like if you send it to Chutz La'aretz, you might be over Lifnei Iver if they don't know that it's Shemitah produce?
Ah, Lifnei Iver. Jeffrey was listening this. Okay, 100%. That's similar to Natanael said. Okay. Yes, right, Keener?
Barry Yaris was going to say something. They'd be sanctifying sanctified produce by taking it out of sanctified land.
Ah, it's kadosh. It's kadosh. As I've been talking about all year, peros shvius are kadosh. Or at least, according to some explanations, that means they're holy. They have a certain amount of kedusha, like karbanos. So to bring them out of the holy land, it's mistreating them. So all of these are suggested in the Rishonim, along with one other important explanation, which you wouldn't have known about unless you continue to see our sources today. So let's begin with the Ravid. The Ravid says in source number 3, Asher Bartzacha, Pirishim Yotzu Pirishvis Lechotz Laretz Asurim Ba'achila. Number 1 on the books, the Ravid says it's Asur to eat exported Shemitah produce. V'nirli Atam, Kadesh Le'ishalfu Pirish Chotz Laretz and Nintzu Pirish. V'nintzu Pirishvis Yotzin L'chulin. Right? What's the problem? The problem is, as Nathanael and Jeffrey said, pragmatic. What's going to happen? People aren't used to keeping Pirush, observing Kedusha Shvius outside of Israel. You're going to have a few Shemitah Pirush. They're going to get mixed up with the normal Chulin Pirush, and they're not going to be treated appropriately. That's the issue. And he says, "Vodan Yomer, he alfa pishen asurim bachila, enam isbar machigiz manabir." But I also add that even though outside Israel they're forbidden to eat, you don't have to do bior until zman bior. Vimrotzim lahachzir on Eretz Yisrael lo'ochon sham rishai. If you want to return the fruits to Eretz Yisrael and do bior there, that's okay. Aval megiim sham bezman bior ba'pli yitanoi, as we'll see in Yivaram otzar chazir l'Eretz Yivaram. There is an argument in the Mefarshim, or rather in the Amoraim, whether or not you have to return peros shvius to Eretz Yisrael to do bior. If you take them out to Eretz Yisrael, the Ravid says, and we'll see this in just a few minutes, the Ravid says, no, two different issues. Bior and the Isser Hotzah are not the same. There is an Isser Hotzah because we're afraid if we export Shemitah produce, people will not treat them appropriately. However, in addition to that, there's a question. Let's say I violate that prohibition. What do I do? And there, as we'll see in the Gemara, there's two opinions about whether you have to bring them out to Eretz Yisrael or you do not. Okay, but that's the Ravid. We're afraid pragmatically if people want to treat them appropriately. The Tzitzah Kodesh, Rabbi Yoshua Shapira, here in source number 4, offers two other explanations as to this Isser. Says Rabbi Yoshua Shapira in source 4, L'inyan Isser Otzas Perosh Shvies Me'aretz L'chutz La'aretz. Tu B'chuli Amagam Tamakama D'Rashba, as we'll see. So everybody agrees, he's going to argue, there's an Isser of export. What's the problem? Yesh Lirot Imatam Ha'ikar, who kadesh to have bior yet Eretz Yisrael? O mishum kedushas haperosh yochlim Eretz Yisrael. Is the problem a bior problem? Meaning, we learned about bior a few weeks ago that at a certain point you have to rid yourself of perosh shemitah, and that you're supposed to do that in Israel. Whether you need to do that in Israel or it's just recommended is a subject of dispute. But you're supposed to do bior in Eretz Yisrael. We're afraid if you bring the peros outside of Eretz Yisrael, then you may not do bior appropriately. That's one option. There's another option, which is it's not that it's a negative concern. It's a positive concern. You're supposed to specifically eat peros shemitah, bikdusha, in Eretz Yisrael. And this, of course, we relate to our discussion a few months ago already about the notion of the mitzvah to eat kedushas peros, or to eat peros shvius, a mitzvah to eat them, or at least a goal, an overall goal. The Torah is telling us that's what I want. I want you to eat them in Eretz Yisrael. So which is it? Is it a concern about bior, or are we simply saying we want you to eat them in Eretz Yisrael? We don't want you to eat them outside of Eretz Yisrael, so don't export them. And he gives a very interesting nafkamina. The nafkamina bazet. L'inyon lulav u'mina etzovim. And this relates to our chiner's shir from a month ago or so. The nafkamina is, what about a lulav or different dyes, the eno omed la'achila, that you're not going to eat? There's not going to be Isser Otzah, which is interesting. Why? Because if you're not going to eat them after at all, then there's no mila specifically of eating them in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no problem with being moti them. It's questionable. Maybe you could say you're supposed to just have hana from them in Eretz Yisrael. After all, it is a form of l'ochla, right? As long as it's hana of Yerushalayim. But that's his stipulation. That's what he assumes. And there are many other nafkaminas. What about things that aren't chayav in bior? What if you already did bior? As we'll see. But these are options 2 and 3 for the prohibition against export. Is it a question of Bior or a question of Kedushas Haperos that they should be eaten in Eretz Yisrael? And if you look in sources 5-7, both of these are suggested in the Mefarshim. If you look at the Rosh Cirillo at number 5, he leans in heavily into the Kedushas Peros idea. Really a wild idea, says the Rosh Cirillo. This is on the Yerushalmi, that we find by Karbanos, that when you burn them, you're supposed to burn them b'makomon, in their place, in the appropriate place. But parakel first time parakel shah, but kodesh, but ishti sereif, but machal machal also sereif also. You're supposed to burn kadshim karbanos that need to be burned in the place where you should have eaten them. That is a din in kadshim. Better not mitshur makacha. V'chem aperos shviyis. Excuse me for the typo. Ba'or biyo ba'aret sheyochlin sham beviur de tera beviur di surah shi'etzim baretz baretz lechachila. So number one, he says the reason you should do Bior in Eretz Yisrael is because that's a mile of Kodesh, that when you do Bior of Kachim, it should be in the place that you should have eaten them. And number two, it's a psul yotzeg. Just like if you take a carbon and bring it out of its mechitza in the place you're supposed to eat, it becomes psul. The rabbis decree that shvius is also kadosh. And if you bring shvius out to Eretz Yisrael, it's psul biyotzeg, and that's the explanation of the Ravid. Parenthetically, the Rosh Cirillo follows the shita of the Ravid regarding Bior, and it's also parallel in this regard. Actually, slightly different in terms of his understanding, but also leans into this idea of Kodesh here as well. So that's one idea, but you also have the Bior idea, and that's the opinion of the Rosh and the Bar Tanura here in sources 6 and 7. The Rosh suggests that this Mishnah, which says that you can't be motzi perish shvius to chatzaret, relates to the machlukas we'll see briefly about Bior peros shvius, meaning there is a requirement to be mevar peros shvius in Eretz Yisrael according to one shita. And since you have to do Bior in Eretz Yisrael, you can't be motzi the peros from Eretz Yisrael. Take a look at the bold Ustamakir Shem Elazar. This Mishnah follows the opinion of Shem Elazar. Tanya peros shvius shayatz mechutz aretz ba'aretz misvarim makom shehin devei Rebbe. His girsa is Rebbe says if you take out peros shvius from chutz aretz to Eretz Yisrael to chutz aretz, you know what? You can do Bior wherever you want. That's Rebbe's shita. You have to do it in Eretz Yisrael. So we have an argument in the Gemara. Where must Bior be done? According to Rav Shimon Elazar, it must be done in Eretz Yisrael. Our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rav Shimon Elazar, who says you need to do Bior Ba'aretz, therefore you can't export it at all. That is the opinion of the Rosh. What does the Rambam hold? Does the Rambam hold this has to do with Bior, or is it a din in Kedushas Haperos? So if you look in source number 8, I think we do have an indication. Take a look at the Rambam. Perish vias ein motzien otam me'aretz l'chotzaretz. The Rambam says you cannot export perish vias from Eretz Yisrael l'chotzaretz, ba'filus surya, ve'ein machilin osan lo la'akam v'lo l'sachir. You shouldn't feed them to an idolater or to your worker. And then there are certain cases you can pay your worker with perishvias if it's not a direct exchange. They work for you for a year or for a month, and it's tzitzas mazonos, so like your anjibeso, fine. So the Rambam categorizes two halachos together: what feeding and paying your workers perishvias, and being motze perishvias. That's number one. Number two, the Rambam discusses Hilchos Bior in Perek Zion. This is Perek Hay of Hilchos Shmita. In Perek Hay of Hilchos Shmita, the Rambam deals with all the dinim of Kedushas Shvius. How you get Hanah from Perek Shvius, whether or not he holds Hanah of Yerushalayim. That's in Perek Hay. It would seem, based on the location of this halacha, that the Rambam thinks that this din is a din in Kedusha Shvius generally. You're not supposed to mistreat Kedusha Pirith with Kedusha Shvius, to bring them out to Eretz Yisrael. It's a milah. So these are the different opinions as to the purpose, the reasoning behind the prohibition against export. Rav Yaakov Ariel, in source number 9, in an article he wrote for Tchumen, which is available online, the link I have for you in the source sheet in a number of places, argues that there, let's toss some. You could argue that the question of whether or not the problem of export relates directly to Bior relates to what Bior is. For, as we learned a few weeks ago, what is Bior? What is required of one doing Bior? So there are essentially two opinions, which are three. One opinion is you have to be mafkir peros shvius. You have to be mafkir them at zmana Bior, and then you can take them again. And the other opinion is that Bior means srefa. At a certain point, you need to get rid of and destroy the peros and look back at those here and that. So let's think about this. If the purpose, if Bior means you're supposed to be mafkir peros shvius, what is the purpose of that? What is the goal of being mafkir then? What are we trying to accomplish by making them available in Eretz Yisrael? Seems pretty straightforward. We're trying to accomplish getting the people of Eretz Yisrael or ensuring that anybody in Eretz Yisrael can eat them. That's the purpose of Bior. Just like there's a mitzvah of Hefker, there's a mitzvah of Bior, and we want everybody to have access to the Paris in Eretz Yisrael. If that is the case, it makes perfect sense then to say the Isser of export relates to Bior. If the purpose of Bior is to make sure people in Eretz Yisrael can eat the peros, taking them out of Eretz Yisrael seems counterproductive. It's exactly the opposite. However, if Bior means to burn the peros, he suggests, why does it matter whether or not you burn them in Israel or outside Israel? Clearly the goal isn't to get people to eat them because they're going to be burnt. Rather, it must be that there is another concern, which is that if we allow people to take them out of Eretz Yisrael, they're not going to do Bior at all. They're going to get mixed up with other Piros. They won't treat them with Kedusha Shvius, as Jeffrey Natano suggested before. He actually focuses on Bior anyway, but it's really about Kedusha Shvius generally. So that's the argument. So it depends on, it's a Shitaso, whatever you think Bior is will relate to the way you understand the Isra of export. However, Yaakov Ariel notes that it's not so simple because we have the rush. Take a look at the third to last paragraph, the third paragraph there in source number 9. Miu, yesh gam shitas harash, a sober karayvid, sham mitzvah vir hisrefa, v'vachozo sober sh'itzer otzalach otzalar atzugadesha bir yib mkom Eretz Yisrael. Rush mixes and matches. He claims, at least the rush holds, like the rayvid, that you need to burn it eventually. But the Rush also holds that the mitzvah, the Issor of Otzah, it relates to the mitzvah of Bior. Evidently, it's not, one does not necessarily flow from the other. And therefore he says, it could be, V'chozo sober she'issor Otzah l'chotzar etzu g'desha bir yib m'kom Eretz Yisrael m'shem ma'ila sh'atzrei v'tiyah lecha chilo b'mekom ha'ro'ila. He goes with the Rosh Shirillo. It could be it's just a milah. It's just like kachim are burnt in the appropriate place. Perish vias should be burned in the appropriate place. So this is the question of the prohibition against export. We have a number of explanations to this point. Is it a pragmatic concern? People won't treat them appropriately. Is it just a milah of Kedushas Peros? Or are we concerned particularly about Bior? Now, the question you might ask is, if it's a Bior concern indeed, then I understand not bringing it out of Eretz Yisrael. But how do you understand the Torah's Kohanim? Right? What did the Torah's Kohanim say in source number 1? If you do bring them out, then you can't eat them. Why? Why should they be Asur B'Achila? Okay, so I can still bring them back to Eretz Yisrael and do Bior. In fact, that's the right it says. So you could say it's a Knas. But the Ritvaz, who, as we'll see, leans in very hard into the Bior option, says, no. When we said they're Asr Ba'achila, we didn't mean they're prohibited generally. They're not. There's no Isser that's created from export. We meant that after Bior, they're Asr. That's all we meant. It's a bit of a stretch. But says the Ritvaz in source number 10, Ba'toros Kanim Azav Ashitas Rashbav. Right, it follows the shita of Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who holds that you need to do bior ba'aretz. V'kamar our marsha ba'artzach ata ochel uvezeh mekayim mitzvahs bior by eating them in Eretz Yisrael. That's a kima bior. If you eat them outside Eretz Yisrael, you're violating the Isra of Bior. That's all the Torah's Kohanim is saying. And this is an important question to keep in mind as well. Is there an Isra Achila of Perus that are exported, or is there not? The Ridvaz is denying that Isra. Okay, so that, as we have until now, different reasons for the prohibition against export. Clear? Very good. So this brings us to a Gemara reference before, which raises all sorts of complications and problems. Gemara Mesachim says as follows in source number 11, Nunbet Amibet. Tana Rabbanon, Perish Yatsu Meretz Yisrael L'Chotzar Esmizbar and Bechol Makom Shehin. First opinion in this Braisa, and if as you saw before, the Rosh quotes this in the name of Rebbe, he might have had a different Kirsa, is that fruit that is exported, you can do bior wherever you would like to. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Yachzur l'makom v'yisbaru. Misham shenemar baratzacha. No, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, no, not enough. You have to go back into Eretz Yisrael and do bior there. It says baratzacha. I think we're going back and forth. What do you mean? Misham shenemar pa'afikte. Previously in the Gemara, we learned from the word baratzacha, as I say in the parentheses, the notion that there are different regions in Eretz Yisrael in Yin Bior. So how can you use Ba'artzacha for another limut? Kari Beit Ba'aretz Ba'artzacha Inami Me'asher Ba'artzacha. Okay, we have an extra limut to teach that you need to do Ba'aretz Yisrael. So we have an argument. Do you need to do Ba'aretz Yisrael, or is it okay to do Bior wherever you'd like to? Fine. Then we have a story. From Safra, Nothing Meretz Yisrael L'Chotzaretz. Really, you know, tough stuff. For Safra leaves Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutzaretz. Okay. Bahava Bahada Garba de Hamra de Shvius. He has a barrel of wine, and not just any wine, Shvius wine. Lavuhade Rafuna Brenda Rivika Rakana. Rafuna and Rivika were escorting him. Armalahu, Ika de Shmiel Yemi Nader Rabbi Yaval, Lakar Shem Lazar Alo. Does anybody know whether or not the halacha follows Rav Shimon ben Elazar regarding whether or not you have to be mitvayer perish shvius in Eretz Yisrael? Meaning, I have this barrel of wine. Do I need to bring it back into Israel to do bior or not? So Rakana says, yes, you do. The halacha does follow Rav Shimon ben Elazar that you require bior ba'aretz. Amalei Rav Huna berater of Ika, halchim Rabbi Avohu, ein halacha Rabbi Shimon. No, not at all. The Rav Huna says the halacha does not follow Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and you do not have to be a baretz. Amar Rav Safra, knock at Hal Klad Rav Huna biyachad to die the gemara shmeitzin buderave. I'm going to go with Rav Huna. Rav Huna was very precise and careful. He always quoted his teachers precisely, and therefore I do not have to go and bring back these peros to Eretz Yisrael or the wine to do biyor there. We don't follow Rav Shimon ben Elazar. So ends the gemara. Two big problems with the Gemara, right? Number, if you look at the simple explanation of this Gemara, simply, it seems like it is total. It seems like it's permitted to be motzi peros from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, and if you do, you do not have to bring them back. However, that's a problem for two reasons. Number one, what about the simple explanation of the Mishnah in Vav Hey? In Shvius Perek Vav Mishnah Hey, it says pretty explicitly, you are not allowed to bring Paras Aretz outside Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah year in Motzi'in. So why would we follow, it sounds like, at least some would suggest, that the halacha follows Rav Shimon ben Elazar. That's why you can't bring them out, because you need to do Bir Ba'aretz. So why is this Gemara saying the halacha does not follow Rav Shimon ben Elazar? That's question one. Question two, what's the story with Rav Safra? Meaning, whoever we paskin like, it seemed like from the Mishnah, at least you can't bring out the peros to begin with. So what was Rav Safra doing? Why did he bring them out? You know, he seems like a totally reasonable, upright rabbi. Probably should have followed an explicit Mishnah in Shvius. What's going on? So how do you deal with this Gemara? Now, in terms of the first question as to whether or not we should pass like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, there is an easy answer if you hold like the Ravid, right? According to the Ravid, these are two totally separate issues. That's the Ravid's whole point. The question of where you need to do Bior is one question, But that's assuming you already violated the prohibition in Perek Vav Mishnah Hay of export. No one thinks you're allowed to do that. The question is, once you do, and now it's mana bior, what do you need to do? That's the argument. There are two separate issues. However, if you think that the prohibition to begin with relates to bior, then we have more of an issue. And this is what the Mefarshim deal with in the following sources. Take a look at Rosh in source number 12. The Rosh has two different approaches to explaining this. First approach is, you're right, the Gemara and the Mishnah seem to argue. Says the Rosh in source number 12, Shemen Sreifa. We already read that. Let's go to the bold. The simple explanation of the Mishnah is that we follow Rav Shimon Elazar and you have to do Bior in Eretz Yisrael. How can the Gemara just rejected the Mishnah and follow the other opinion and said that Halacha is not like Rav Shimon Elazar? It's explicit Mishnah and Shvius. Answer. So it seems like the way he first interprets his Gemara is indeed it's machlokes, Mishnah versus Gemara. This is important. Why is this important? If you do accept this, at least thought of the Rashba, that it's the Mishnah is against the Gemara, meaning that the Gemara does not pass like the style of Mishnah, maybe because halacha mirebi, more halacha karebi mechabiro. If that is the case, then it would end up that there is no prohibition against export. That's what the Rashba is suggesting. There is no prohibition according to Rebbe. That's why Reb Safra did what he did. And also, that is why the Gemara is passing like Rebbe. However, the Rosh continues. V'shema lechachila afilu Rosh Hashanah Elazar moda de'emotzin. Afilu kodem abior. Maybe lechachila everybody agrees you can't be motzi. Meaning, you're right. There's an argument about how to do bior. Bidi eved, whether you need to return it to Eretz Yisrael, but lechachila, even the Rabbanon slash Rebbe, whatever your girsa is, who hold that you don't have to go back to Eretz Yisrael to do Bior, still maintain that you should not ideally bring the Peros outside Eretz Yisrael to begin with. Everybody agrees to the Mishnah, regardless of how you need to do Bior. Presumably because of the Lila, that you shouldn't bring it outside Eretz Yisrael. At least it's better to do Bior in Eretz Yisrael. And what about Rav Safra? Okay, so if that's true, why is Rav Safra violating the Mishnah? He made a mistake. Big rabbis make mistakes too, right? Rav Safra, the off the garb, the chamra, she has married to Shrela Chotzer, Shogigaya. He made a mistake. He didn't realize there is a Shemitah bottle of wine. It's a suitcase, and he has to figure out what to do. So don't worry about Rav Safra. Everybody. So then these are important answers. One answer is there's an argument about the export issue. The other answer is no. Everybody agrees to the export issue. Even the Rabbanan agreed lechachila, and Safra made a mistake. This is indeed the explanation of the Rosh and the Meiri as well. Take a look at the Meiri in source number 14. Perishvius and motzim osam in aretz lechutzaretz. You're not supposed to export perishvius from the land of Israel to outside Israel. The Meiri comments on this Gemara, but he quotes the Mishnah in Shvius as a given. Everybody agrees to the Mishnah in Shvius, even though the Gemara doesn't even mention that. That everybody agrees to. In Yatsu the Gishas Abior, a much rechnosa zirum bavar metzisrael, ariam esvar mechol makom. If you made a mistake, bidyeved, we don't make you bring him back because we don't follow Rosh Hashanah ben Elazar. So that is, that is the prevailing opinion. In fact, the Chazon Ish goes with the second explanation of the Rosh based on the Mishnah. Take a look at the Chazon Ish from source number 15 in Shvius Yud Gimel Gimel. Everybody agrees, even to eat the pears before Bior, that you shouldn't ideally export pears fias. If you argue that the Mishnah is only according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and the Mishnah assumes you need to do Bior in their place. In Kein Hanidon Be'Isser Torah. It's a biblical prohibition. Rishim Elazar al Hamikra. And this is an argument in the Acharonim. Does Rishim Elazar quotes Ba'artzacha think it's a biblical prohibition to export Perishvias? Says the Chaznish, yes, he does. He quotes the Pasuk. If you indeed think that that is the case, how could he argue, how can he allow Syria? In came my time under Shimon, the Mishnah, the Amar Motzi in the Syria. How could Shimon, going back to our Mishnah, Shimon, the Syria activist, who told us twice, it's okay to bring them to Syria. How can he allow that? Syria is Eretz Yisrael on a rabbinic level, right? It's Kibush Yachid. So how can he allow you to violate a biblical prohibition to bring it out into Syria if Syria doesn't have Kedusha Midaraisa? It must be that the Tana Kama and the Mishnah thought, Lecha Chila, you can't be Motzi Meitzral Chatzaretz. That's the Rabbanan. And Rishon requires Bior in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Araisa. But the Isra of export is just a Xera. It's a Xera, either because of the Mila or because we want you ideally to do Bior in Eretz Yisrael. So one way of dealing with this Gemara is either it's an argument or it was a mistake. Everybody agrees the Chachila, at least the Rabbanan, you shouldn't be Motzi Peros Meretz Yisrael, even if we disagree with Rishon ben Elazar. However, there is a Tosfos Msachim, which has a much more radical answer. Much radical answer. It's very difficult to understand. And this already opens up the discussion to some more Heterim. Ask Tosfos in Source Nick 16. Hik Shariva. It's not a parak bad nishvias. Mishnah hey, emotzi in shem and shreva parashias in ma'aretz l'chotzaret. What's going on? How can Rosafer do this? It's against the Ofen of Mishnah, right? So what's the answer here? It's a Hasam Mairi. Le achila, Rav Safra, Afik, Leschora. The answer is the Mishnah, when it says you can't be Motzi's Perishvias, that's if you want to eat them outside Eretz Yisrael. However, if you're doing it for business purposes, commercial purposes, that's okay. And that's what Rav Safra was doing. He wanted to sell his barrel of wine. But didn't we learn a few months ago that it's prohibited to do schora with perishvias? Yes. But it also says, yesh schora shemuteres, right? We have a number of sources where there are certain types of schora that are permissible. If you remember those shirim, either a bit at a time, not where you sell it, if you didn't gather it, that's a whole discussion.
Have you seen anyone who dealt with the question of how Tosfos fits with the actual story? In other words, Tosfos makes it sound like he intended to take it out for Schora, but the story in the Gemara makes it sound like it's an accident.
I don't know, because I think your point is well taken, which is why Tosfos' second answer is like, oh, or maybe it was an accident, right? Oh, yeah, I'm sure going to talk to you. Oh, it was just an accident, right? Oh, either I will give you a tremendous dispensation to be Motzi Peres Shvi'is and do Schora and export, or not. Maybe it was just an accident.
But what was he expecting to have within the first answer he's giving? What was he expecting to have happen? He shows up at the border. He's planning to take it out of Eretz Yisrael for Schora, and then he decides to turn to the people next to him and say, "Hey, how do we paskin on this?"
Well, I think the argument is he meant to do it for Schora, and then he had some left over, so he had to figure out how to do Bior. I guess that's the assumption.
Okay.
I imagine. It's a good question, right? I hear. Rosh also says, you see from the story, it sounds like it was a mistake, right? I hear your point. The thing is, though, Tosfos says it, and this is a huge nachmina. The question is, what in the world is Tosfos talking about? Aside from my Tarchina's question of, doesn't fill out the story, which is a good point, why would it be more permissible for Schora than for Achila? The one thing you're always, I shouldn't say always, or Chaim will talk to us about Tzvichim in next week, but the most permissible thing to do with Perish Shmita is to eat them, right? That's what usually you can do. You can eat Perish Shmita. Schora is usually prohibited. So why would, even if you're going to tell me there's a permissible type of schora, why would that be more permissible than eating? It's very strange. So the Acharonim struggle to explain Tosfos. Again, because it's very consequential. Again, if Tosfos is right, we have a huge, or at least a dispensation. If we find a mutter way to do Schora, we can export Peroshvias. The Beit Rivaz says it's about La'ochla. Essentially, what's the point Tosfos is making? Davar Mu'at is allowed. Okay, reducing the heter here. But what type of Schora is permissible? A little bit at a time. Yad, yad. You could sell a little bit at a time. And that is still not a violation of L'Ochla. The Isserus Torah relates to the Ochla, and that's how we understand it's Bior. The point of Bior is that when the Torah says you should feed it to the people around you and to the animals, it's describing the way Bior should be done. And this is not a violation of the Ochla at this very small amount, and therefore it is permissible. Take a look at source number 17, Beit Rivaz. Masha Inkin Lahotz Vishor Davar Muat. Beit Emes Anosav, a little bit so you can eat Dafka Vloyoter, who mutter in a Torah. L'ochla means you can have as much as you want from Shabbat Aretz in order to sustain yourself. Akadim is mutter. Tosos means a small amount. If you need to sell a little bit to sustain yourself, that's okay. As long as it's Kedem is an osav, that's a kiyum of the ochla, and that you can be motzi. Rabbi Yashiv gives a different explanation, which I think is a bit more compelling, actually, but he himself isn't so... Well, it's more compelling in terms of the originalist, or just practically, it's hard to know how this works. So take a look at source number 18, the Haaretz of Rabbi Yashiv here. First, he starts off with a question. What's going on here, right? Tema. The nimsa om hapoch kishkan. It's an upside down world. She's chora kame achila. Va'adaraba, who, right? Usually, why in the world would commerce be more lean than eating? It's always the opposite. Machen kaz machazanish yishagia tosos. That in the hepech. Okay, so the chazanish says, switch around the girsa. It's the opposite. Really, tosos meant to say lachila's mutter, chora's aser. Problem is, there's a tosos rush and host Rabin and Peretz, who both had that girsa. So let's just not change the girsa and tosos because we don't like what he says. Anyway, therefore he says, and he says, in the last line in the first paragraph, maybe according to Tosos, I can explain, as we'll get to, the custom to export Shemitah Esrogim. Many people get their Esrogim from Eretz Yisrael. Why is that allowed? Well, maybe according to Tosos, we have an avenue. A permit here. And he says, Vlavachi, Yeshadatik, Matayuz Mambir Shal Shogim. Well, when's this Mambir? Shudar be long of Mishan Lashana, that it lasts from year to year. Baradbaz quote saved, Ain Bir Les Shogim, Machem Mutalotim Lahotzaret. The Ridvaz says you can be Motim because there is no Bir. Bo Kosu Acharonim Oratir, Mumta Totis Rogim, Shri Rim Shlemu Nolim Lahotzaret, Esrogim Meritus Rosh Shvius. He says, well, we know that it's okay to do this because many, many holy tzaddikim buy their Esrogim from Eretz Yisrael and bring them into Chutz La'aretz. So we know that it's okay. The question is, why? And maybe Tosfos is the reason why. What is Tosfos saying? Right, the Rosh Rilo, he takes the Rosh Rilo's approach here. What is the purpose of the Isra of export? It's so that you eat them b'makom kadosh in Eretz Yisrael. B'nir dine b'lashon Torah's kona b'artzacha tia kol tvatal achol b'nimtza der asafra kushahot zilchotzar tzurak l'schor v'lo l'achila. He wasn't intending to eat them. That's the reason it's okay. Rasafra was not intending to eat them in Eretz Yisrael. He was just intending to do schora. And since the whole purpose of the Isra is achila related, it's that you should eat them in Eretz Yisrael b'makom kadosh. So schora ends up being okay. Okay. Behind you, Kimo Besrogim is Marazesh, Motsinu Samrakhan Anuim, Maharak Lachila, Ain Sarach Lahem Bechot Saret. We have Zil Meretz Yisrael. Well, we can be Motsia Srogim nowadays because we're not planning to eat them, we're planning to do an Anuim. And then we'll bring them back into Eretz Yisrael. Nim Seshem says Shemisser, Shailo Yochlam Bechot Saret. A feast of Tarak Lomoder, Safra Hotsim Bechot Saret, Asamach Laret Yisrael, Shayal Achim Bedaita Mazirim Lachilat Yisrael. It was selling them outside, but it was right outside. And they were going to buy them and bring them back to eat the Eretz Yisrael. Of course, that was Rasafra's intention. We should send back to Esrogim too nowadays. After you finish with your Esrog, send it back to Israel. Bitarachim, right? Because, I don't know. it's tenuous because really you're going to say that we're going to trust everyone to just do Shora and just pretend everyone's going to eat them and bring them back to Eretz Yisrael. Like, if you're selling them outside Eretz Yisrael, what do you think people are really going to do? Like, that should be Lifnei Iver, I would say. Yeah, like, that seems like pretty straightforward Lifnei Iver. It's Trei Evri Denara in a very literal sense. And, I don't know. Like, So that's his explanation. So that is Tosfos, the heter of Sora. Whether we should pause him that or not is questionable, because again, Tosfos says, or maybe it was all just a mistake. What other heterim exists to allow Sora? Again, because this is an important part of the Israeli economy, and therefore the postgame, like the Radvaz, as that Rabbi Yashiv said, tried very hard to allow this, and the question is why. So one heter is, if we take the Rosh approach and the Radvaz approach, that it's all about Bior, we can find heterim internal to Bior, meaning there is a Zman HaBior. That at a certain point, you have to do Bior. However, number one, if you think that Bior means Hefker, after you do Bior, simply be Mafka the Piros, and then you can bring them back inside to your house. And at that point, they're totally Mutter. So number one, we could allow doing, exporting Paris Shvius after you've already performed Bior. It should be permissible. Number two, however, the Tavaris Yisrael here in source number 19 in his Hilchot Hakavirtas, Zil Psakim on the Mishnayos, goes even further. Take a look at source number 19. In Motzi, on the Mishnah we read before, in Motzi na filu truma shekvar nitma'a. O Perish Shvius, the Acher is mana Bior, mi Eretz Yisrael Chatzaretz. One is not allowed to export truma that's Tamei or Perish Shvius after Zman HaBior. Sounds like the prohibition is after Zman HaBior. Even before Zman HaBior, it's permissible. Even though I could have argued we should be Gozer before Zman HaBior too, because we're afraid you'll leave it there until Zman HaBior. Nevertheless, he says it's okay before Zman HaBior. How long before is an interesting question. But he's moderate. And he says at the same time, the Chuma Tzman Tzara Sreifa Rakbar Yisrael, Shfiya Sakhar Bira Tzara Klevaro, Rakbar Yisrael. And that's why. The Zman HaBior is supposed to do it in Eretz Yisrael. It's all about Bior. But if we can avoid the Bior issue, if it's before Zman HaBior, it's permissible to do Hotzas Aperos, Yitzu Aperos, and to allow export. And the Patel Shulchan, again, leans into this idea. It's all about Bior. And he is matir. He's matir to be able to offer a beer. Says the Prat HaShulchan in source number 20, Peirot Shviyet in Motzi and Otan Meharetz. You should not export Peirot Shmita outside Eretz Yisrael. That is the Prat HaShulchan himself, excuse me. So the Yisrael of Sakhalov, the way the Prat HaShulchan works is that Yisrael of Sakhalov wrote the Prat HaShulchan as sort of like the Shulchan Aruch. And then the Radvaz, or Yaakov Belovsky, who also lived during that time in the 1800s, wrote in the early 1900s, wrote a Ramah to the Prat HaShulchan Shulchan Aruch. And after the Prat HaShulchan says, you are not allowed to be Motzi Peirot Shvius, the Radvaz says, but you can in certain circumstances. Amala Achar Bior, but after Bior, Motzi Motzi L'Chatzaret, you can be Motzi then. V'yasa Bior HaNog Al Pia Poskim, you do the right Bior. Lafkiram, but what about Yisrael? Azazakasem. You do Hefker, like we learned a few weeks ago. You should bring it outside your house and allow people access. Lachar Zachia, Kaderish is Zochem Hefker, and then you can take them back. And after you are Zochem Hefker, Motulotin Lachotzaretz. Now, however, that being said, there are other issues, meaning even if you get around the Hotsa Saperos issue, there are Shora issues, there are Gedusha Shvius issues, and he says you have to be sensitive to those too if you're exporting Peros Shvius. And therefore, he says, the limchor behavla im yayin shel shishis, v'yashal kol dam yayin shishis, v'chol chavios. Number one, you do have law, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, that when you sell the pair of shivis, you do so in bulk with pair of shishis, and you say they're paying for the pair of shishis. So you do have law. V'chol chavios aruch latum shiyayin shel shvius. You have to write on the barrels, this is shvius wine. And the merchant should put on the bottles, this is Shvius wine. They also sell Bavla. You should use the Shvius wine for Kiddush and Avdala and Dala Kosos and the Bris because we need to eat it. Because Shvius. Yod Macharienos, and he quotes the Gemara and Shabbos. And you can moti estrogam because they don't require bior. So that is the first heter. If we take the approach of the Rosh, that's all about bior, then we can be matir if it's you already did biur, assuming you avoid the sora issues by doing havla and the gush shvius issues, and you make sure everybody knows gush shvius. Fine. What are other heterim? So the first heter that I think is probably a heter that exists out there, but pretty controversial, is to take Tosfos' answer. Shabbat Aras and Sefer Shemitah here in Torah 21 say that for Schor HaMuteres, you can be Motzi Perish Shvies Mechutz Arikstra L'chutz Aras. As we learned a few weeks ago, there are ways of doing Schor which are Mutter. If we take Tosfos' first answer, as long as you're doing Schor and Mutter way, you can be Motzi Perish Shvies Me'aretz Yisrael L'chutz Aras. He, in the Sefer HaShemitah, combines this with the Bior approach. He's suggesting that if the whole problem is Bior, and maybe we could be more lenient regarding Schora as well, which is sort of interesting, because I don't know that Tosfos really takes that approach. If you look in Shabbat Aretz, and I bring it for you, he goes through the sugya of Schora when he quotes Salacha. He says, when is Schora Mutter? Some say if you aren't the one that gathered it, if you didn't do the lakitza, someone else can sell it for you. Some say that as long as you, that if you can do it a bit at a time, all the dinim of we learned about Schora there. Now this just parenthetically could lead to a huge heter. What do I mean by that? We learned when we did the Isser, we did Schora, we noted that the purpose of Otsar Beistin is, one of the main purposes is to avoid the Isser Schora. Again, the idea being that they are not selling the peros to make a profit. Beistin appoints a number of shlichim to provide the community with peros shvius, and then they pay for the service and they just get the peros as a gift. So maybe you could have argued that Otsar Beistin should be allowed. However, it's not a very solid argument, because the reason that Otsar Beistin works for Schora doesn't seem to really apply to Peros Shvius outside Eretz Yisrael, right? Because even if they're serving as, you know, just providing a service, how does it allow them to take the Peros outside Eretz Yisrael? Or whatever you're paying for doesn't allow you to be motz the Peros if it is indeed usher. So that, although that I think is a possibility some explore, Otsar Beistin probably doesn't cut it in and of itself. What other heterim exists? If you look in source number 22, the Shabbat Aretz quotes two more potential heterim. Yesh mi shehekel liyatze kishaki dulim nitu letzorech yitzo. Some are lenient to allow export if the purpose of the plants originally was for the purpose of export. If they are planted for the purpose of export, it is okay. And the question is going to be, why? And some say, I don't know, you shouldn't rely on that. Some argue that it's okay to export peros if there are so many in Eretz Israel that we're afraid people won't be able to dispose of them and eat them appropriately. And to avoid hefsid, we can export the peros. So two heterim, additional heterim. One is if you plant them for export. Number two is if there are too many peros in Eretz Yisrael such that we export them to allow them to be consumed appropriately. What are the reasons for these heterim? So let's think of the first one, just briefly. Why would it be permissible to export peros shvius if they were planted for the purpose of export? It relates to Rabbi Tarchiner's Shirim on Hana Asimu V'Urim Shaveh. If you remember, when we learned about the types of Shvius plants that are susceptible to Kedusha Shvius, one important Shita was, according to Rashi, that if you plant something to use it from the beginning in a way which isn't consistent with La'okhla, which isn't Hana Asimu V'Urim Shaveh, right? So the wood that's there to provide warmth rather than light, or the minei kovsim, the laundering agents. It's if you plant them for that purpose, they don't have kedushas shvius at all. So the argument goes, and this is Rav Chaim Berlin's argument: if we're saying you can't export, and you plant them for the purpose of export, they won't have kedushas shvius. That is one argument here. And the Madani Aretz goes at length trying to explain that in source number 24. Take a look at source 24. I'll get back to 23 in just a second. Umikivin shechein. Racha shli below mar od mizeh. Ta'afim yibinot lo mitzvah shechai b'shvies. So Rishon Mazam, like everybody else, is dealing with the esrog issue. Why is it okay to be motzi esrogim? So he suggests the argument that if the purpose of planting the esrog is to be used as a mitzvah and not for achila, maybe you could argue that they don't have kedusha. However, he says, I'm not sure, because even after you use them for a mitzvah, you can still eat the esrog. So that maybe that's still ochla. But he says, I'll make another argument. Maybe you could argue that since you can use an esrog shel shvias, that doesn't take it away from the ochla. Even if you are machmir about yevul machri, like the Chazon Ish, you can be makel for another reason. Why? A lot of words there. He says, we say that when you plant something or intend to use a plant for a purpose which is not consistent with ochla, it doesn't act as a shvius. Well, the non-Jew clearly doesn't intend to use the parish shvius consistent with the ochla. In fact, you, which is another issue and needs to be encountered, maybe we'll get to it on Monday, you're not supposed to ideally feed parish shvius to a non-Jew. So if it's planted for the purpose, if a non-Jew plants the peros in a way which is not consistent with la'ochla, it doesn't have kedusha shvius at all. So some marshalist argument to say the same with schora. Again, if you're not allowed to do schora and you plant it for the purpose of schora, maybe that removes kedusha shvius. So that's one argument for Hetzer. The other argument is the hefsid argument that we're afraid people won't consume them appropriately after schora, or too many. And this is the argument of the Radvaz in source 23. It's a bit of a difficult argument. The Radvaz essentially argues as follows. The Ravid, he says, saw the Ravid. The Ravid says it's derabanan, it's an asmachta, right? Because the Ravid sounds like it's just a gzera. Now, the Ravid gzera wasn't just any gzera. The Ravid gzera was, we're afraid you won't treat them with kedusha shvius. But the Radvaz is liberal in how he understands this Ravid. I'll say it that way. So look at source 23. The Ravid says the whole thing's an asmachta. This asmachta, this rabbinic prohibition, isn't relevant nowadays. The whole issue was they only had a small amount of produce in Eretz Yisrael. There are many people who need the food. The rabbis therefore said, don't be motziet. What the Ravaz is really arguing about relates to a Gemara in Bava Basra, Tzadi Beis, where the Gemara says you're not supposed to be motzi any peros outside Eretz Yisrael, mishum chayin nefesh. Those peros are essential for the Yishuv to sustain them, shouldn't be brought out of Eretz Yisrael any year. The Ravaz is saying that they're abanan. The Ritvaz is saying that their abundance of export is also just to ensure that people have peros. Again, I don't know how it reads this into the Ravid. The Ravid just doesn't say that. He simply says it's a problem of kedusha shvius. We're afraid people won't treat them appropriately. So I'm not sure how he reads the Ravid, but this is what he's arguing. Because it's their abundance, and it must be for this reason. And therefore, nowadays, he argues, Masheng is ma'azesh in Olcham Eretz Yisrael, va'adar abba, im lo hayim motzin l'chutz aretz harayana masinim peros shvius. Now it's the opposite. Now we have people who need it outside of Israel. We leave them there in Israel. It's going to be a problem of kedusha shvius because they're just going to go to waste. And therefore, we can be motzi to them. Again, assuming you take care of the other issues. So that is another interesting question. It raises another fascinating question, which Rav Yaakov Ariel relates to the Machlokas Rabban and Balm Or about leaving before Shabbos. Mainly, what's happening? We're planting a lot of peros, knowing that there will be too many for everybody in Eretz Yisrael to eat, and therefore we'll just have to export them so that people outside Eretz Yisrael can eat them. So can you put yourself in that position? He relates to the machlokas ba'amor Ramban. Can you leave before Shabbos if you know you're going to have to make use of the heter of sakana? Ayin sha. Okay, so that's another heter. What should we do, Lama? And look at source 25. Again, I should have brought this for you, but Ms. Schaefer, she just says, what about the general prohibition of, in a similar vein to what we just said, but in more, but not quite the same way, what about the general prohibition of being moti perishvius, meaning, or any perios? Even if I deal with the shvius issue, what about the fact that you shouldn't bring produce outside to Israel because of chayin nefesh? She says it's opposite nowadays. Nowadays, the chayin nefesh is exporting. Nowadays, we need exports so that the yeast of an Eretz Yisrael can survive. So that's not an issue either. How do we paskin l'maisa? So two approaches I have here in the Acharonim in terms of what farmers in Eretz Yisrael should do, and then the question is what people in Chutz Laaretz should do. And as you can imagine, there's a difference, because in Eretz Yisrael, it's a question of parnasa, it's a question of chayin nefesh, and there is more reason to allow for heterim in terms of Yisrotzah. In Chutz Laaretz, it's the question of how do we keep halacha most appropriately, and therefore the poskim in the Chutz Laaretz are generally pretty, we'll say, discouraging of hotzah. But the question is, if they did it already, can we still use esrogim or eat the peros and the like? Yaakov Ariel goes with Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and Rechaim Merlin, says what you should do is rely on the notion of planting it for the purpose of export, and that when you plant the fruits, contact the marketing agencies overseas and have them buy the fruit at the beginning of its cultivation. So that when you plant it, you're planting it for the sell to the non-Jewish marketing agencies out to Eretz Yisrael. And that is what is going to help us with the export issue. Take a look at source 26. That the farmer is in Eretz Yisrael should contact the marketing agencies outside Eretz Yisrael. She yiknu at the pre b'chilak yidulov. They should acquire the pre at the very beginning of its growth process. V'kerin shabri shayach hanorchem mechilas kidulo. Efshel esam ha'masperah shal gegon v'shal zaman orbach l'hadretz yitol chotzaretz. Okay, heter number one. The pni halacha doesn't like this heter. And the way he sort of deals with this question, our Elazar Malam in source 27 says that, I'll just read it briefly for you. Kifish l'man yish rotzim l'ham mimana mishash heter mechira. Some people don't like heter mechira. L'kaim ekal hakla ba'aretz misgeret otzer beitin. And they want to use otzer beitin instead. El shahov asher chacham mehotzi perishvias perishesh b'em kudusha shvias chutzaretz ukemase mea totzer hachlagin nimcher b'der kla b'chutzaretz l'chorem b'ayazia p'teron. So the problem with otzer beitin is that export. How does otzer beitin deal with export? And what are we going to do about that? That's a big problem. And again, Otzer Basin Peros have Yushvius. Essentially, what he says is he quotes a number of explanations. He says, just rely on Heter Mechira. Like, all of these explanations are dachuk, they're not good explanations. You're relying a lot of, you're stretching for a term. Just do Heter Mechira, it's better. If you're going to do, and I think this is actually what most companies do. I actually emailed Zev Weitman about this, and he said, most companies who export rely on Heter Mechira to do export. Because relying on Otzer Basin is questionable, but he did say that he would allow an otherwise when he was in charge of these sort of things, he would allow Otzer Basin export Heterim as well, as we sort of discussed regarding BR and the like. What about in Chutz Laaretz? So very briefly, I brought you three different shuvas. We won't go through them now, but you had different approaches. And Siv was not happy about export. He was not happy because he thought Shvius is d'oraisa, Heter Mechira doesn't work. Yevul Machri is still chayiv, and there's Chora issues, and there's Kedushas Shvius issues, and there's Amaretz issues, and all these apply. And therefore, when I bought an Eretz Yisrael Esro, because they were doing it anyway, I made sure to pay on credit after the holiday, use my Esro, and eat it immediately, so there's no Bior issue, and then even the money won't be Kedushas Shvius, because I'm paying them after the Peros are no longer in the world, which again is sort of questionable. But that's the best I can do. But this is bad.
He didn't worry about Lochem.
What?
And he didn't worry about Ulakachtem Lochem.
Oh, so why is it? So that relates to Moshe Feinstein. Moshe Feinstein is a lot more lean in this regard. He says, look, even if you don't like Heter Mechira, that doesn't mean that people who do rely on it are doing an Avera. And in terms of the Isser of, what if it's Usser? So he says, Shamor, we don't apostate getting a Tom. We don't have to worry about Shamor, guarded Peros, because we think that's okay. B'di Eved, and he argues the Rive, who says, Elzer Balchila, thinks that still, first of all, we don't possibly derive it. Maybe the Ravid was Chozer because he doesn't say anything about the Rambam. That's a bit tenuous. But even if the Ravid wasn't Chozer, we don't possibly like him. Even if we do possibly like him, that means even if you can't eat it, it still doesn't mean that you can't use it for Esrog. Why? Because theoretically, you could bring it back into Eretz Yisrael and eat it there. That's enough of the Heter Achila, and therefore, you can still be Mahadra and use the Esrog Eretz Yisrael. That's where Moshe's Shita was. So he's much more lenient in that regard. Mechilkas Yaakov here in source number 30, of Mordechai Breish, says that, I don't know, not so sure, maybe. It's somewhere, it's Chora. A lot of issues involved. If you want to be Mekel, B'shas Rechak, maybe we could be Mekel, and the people in Eretz Yisrael need for Chai Nefesh, but he certainly would recommend not relying on this Heter. He says, you have to worry about Havla, it has to be a present. So we have different approaches in terms of what to do practically. So just in summation, we dealt with the Esrei Torah, different explanations for the purpose of Esrei Torah. Some of them are more open to Heterim in terms of export, Lachar Bior, and others. Others are not. If it's a Gucci's Paris issue, you're pretty much stuck unless you're going to do Heter Mechira. And there are different approaches as to do what to do practically, either just do Heter Mechira and, you know, relying on that Heter, but at least it rids the Caduceus Paris and Caduceus Shvius, and there's no Torah issue or Yitzo issue, or some are Matir other with other avenues as well. We'll go more into the practical details on Monday, Bezer Hashem. Thank you very much for joining. Have a wonderful Shabbos.